9:21 on a good Friday morning here on the WCHE Morning Magazine. Doug Sterling, Bill Mason, Tom Casey, Vince Malagrano, and a special guest, Vince, once again.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, I always have special guests.
You always do? Yeah. You haven't
That's
had a,
right.
You haven't had a dud yet, so I give you credit for that.
Thank you so much. This is Paul Dolnick with CSRI, Computer Systems Resource, Inc. And, you know, I hear things like... that happened to the cyber nasty. That doesn't even sound good.
It's
right?
Real.
That's what I understand, right? But this is your business.
It is a large part anymore.
Okay. All right. We'll talk a little bit about the business in general, and then we'll talk about what's coming up next week.
Well, we're a CSRI is a full service IT firm. We've been around since 87. We're serving small to mid business, we'll call it the tri-state region. It has become more and more and more a part of our world, which again is the whole, the whole crux of it all.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's just computers don't go away; they just keep getting bigger, better, faster, whatever it is that they do. And God forbid you push the wrong button, right?
Well, that often is the trigger, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
And good morning, Paul.
Morning,
Bill Mason over here. It seems like, you know, the criminals and the hackers and the people who just want to disrupt continue to be one step ahead, and then everybody else is playing catch up. Is that the way this works, or is there ever a way for the good guys to get ahead of the bad guys?
Well, there is a certainly that kind of feeling, that sense that they are, and they are ever evolving, and we do need to make an effort to at least be in step, if not a step ahead. The real problem is playing catch up, which unfortunately so many businesses do.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point of our efforts to raise awareness with small business, is that we're in one way or another, since businesses are attacked and they're hit, 43% of all breaches are against small business, you're going to either spend to prevent or you're going to spend in reaction. So it certainly costs less to prevent, and we're trying to make that happen more and
now
more.
Are most of these hacks, are they trying to steal financial information, you know, confidential information, or are they just
trying to steal your information?
Okay.
they want your passwords, your usernames, because in large part, most folks are using the same ones repeatedly. And if they get a username and a password and they can get into your Facebook, well, then maybe they can also get into your bank wherever else. Take your identity, buy a house, a car, and you get to be on the hook.
So now, does it really all depend, start out with a design at the first, at the beginning? You have to design it so that it makes it more difficult anyway for them to get into it?
Yes and no. Realistically, the folks that we tend to work with, if you think about small business, they're already there. So to a degree, it's assessing where are we now? What things do we need to do to change? Creating a proactive roadmap, because few folks have just a big purse just waiting to spend. So you have to make sure that it fits budgetarily, and you prioritize the most important things, get them done, and you just start creating that process and continuing down that path.
So is it kind of a two-step process where, one, the business owner is trying to protect themselves and their confidential information and their financial information, but also that of each and every one of their employees? Because anybody, you know, I guess as you're saying, they don't care whose, you know, password and stuff they get. Anybody's susceptible, they can get in and
we just think of it in its whole as personal identifiable information, or PII, and the government says, the feds say, that that's any two pieces of information. So a social security number and a first and last name and a birth date, street address, any two pieces that might help identify or locate you. And it doesn't matter whether that's proprietary information, whether that's employee data, whether that's customer data, whether that's, it's all data, and we're all, as business owners and managers, responsible to protect it.
Right.
Wow.
Now, I do have a little bit of a background in IT, and I have an associate's degree in IT, and I've been dealing with computers since 1983. I'm also aware, too, that there's this practice, and this is something that came out. You know, we've had Target got hit, and Merck Online, and so even these bigger companies have issues with security. But there was one practice that came in, and I'm trying to get your take on this, where you go into a store and you want to buy something that has a rating on it for you know, mature, either whether it be a video game or a CD or something that says the first thing that happens is they ask you for your driver's license, and then they take your driver's license and they scan it through their system. There's enough information on that data strip to steal your identity. So what do you do? I mean, what do you, is your knowledge of that practice, and what can small businesses do to try to secure it so that they're not having to run that strip through?
Well, I don't know that you necessarily can say that they won't have to take that strip, right? It comes down to the information, and once you have it, what do you do with it? That's a small piece of information, and that's a unique set of circumstances. However, we're all taking out our credit card and buying things in stores. We're all taking out our credit card and buying things online. There are skimmers. You have the without naming some names, there have been breaches just getting gas, and right. Here in Westchester, for that matter.
Yeah. I will tell you, Paul, I never, ever use those. I go in and I pay cash because I never trust them.
Well, I heard about the skimmer that was inside the pump machine, not just, you know, where you could say jiggle it and see it was loose, but somebody was doing maintenance and they actually had it inside somehow.
It gets pretty in depth. And again, that's at the circumstance where we might say it's manual. And if we think about the proliferation of online, the e-commerce environment, you know, how much easier is it to not stand in line for all that time at DMV, but to go on and do your vehicle registration by putting it into the input masks and getting that all? There we go. So we're all opting to some degree for the convenience that today's day and age applies. And so whether we're on the consumer side or the business side, and those of us in business, we're on the consumer side when we're not at work. How much caution are we going to use? How much diligence are we going to use? And then in business, what steps and measures are we going to take so that we can ensure our client base, our revenue? The cost of mitigation or remediation has exploded. It's up to about $34,000 for a small business, certainly much more for the larger businesses. The challenge, though, is that we as consumers, we hear the news all the time. We hear about these big breaches, and it's too big for us to comprehend. And then we go to work, and we don't think about the small little environment we're responsible to protect.
Now, without giving away any trade secrets, how are you able to help businesses protect themselves?
Well, it's a matter of steps. We start at what we call the gate, which is the firewall level. Well, that's the point between the wild, wild west, which is the internet, and your internal network. You then look at practices within the network, things that we, at this point, I would like to say most businesses recognize they ought to be doing, but not all businesses are doing. Yeah, are we using strong passwords? Do they change repeatedly? Do we use two-factor authentication? So when your employees go out and tunnel in, whether that be, you know, at Starbucks, are they using a VPN? Are they using two-factor authentication? Are they doing everything that they need to secure that connection through? On the inside, are we using least access authentication? So if you are not somebody who's in accounting or HR, do you have access to the information that the folks in accounting and HR have access to?
Right.
And these seem very simple things, but for a small business that's evolved from just a couple of PCs, and they got bigger and they got a server, and then they got bigger and they got more employees, and they got bigger and they got more data, sometimes you have to kind of go back to the basics and say, these are the things we have to do, these are steps we have to take, and make sure that they get enacted.
Are biometrics better? You know, eye scan, thumbprints, facial recognition?
It really depends on your perspective of the brave new world, right? It's great occasionally to catch some bad guys if we have everybody's face on in a database. I have to say I'm a little uneasy about my face and my thumbprint and my voice. There's a whole new rash of robocallers coming out where those voice prints are being used so that when you pick up the phone, it's not just a number that's recognizable to you, but the voice on the other end of the phone sounds like, wow. So not just, you know, the call to grandmom about the kid being in lockup and please send the money to get him out of lockup, which is a current scam, but what if it sounded like your grandson?
Wow. Now, you'll probably like this. I don't pay bills online or anything else like that. I'm old school.
You do pay bills though, Vince.
Oh, yeah, I do. Right. I do. I just don't do it online because I don't like the idea of putting all that information in the computer, right? But the cool thing is when I do walk into the bank, they all know me and they're, you know, hi, how are you? So my first question to them is, so do you have any samples?
Yeah.
And they look at me like, samples.
No.
What kind of samples? I go, you know, 20s, 50s, anything like that, you know, a sample.
Just a pound or two.
The ice cream store gives you samples. The pretzel place gives you samples. They go, no, we don't have any samples. I went, oh, boy, you're missing the boat.
Now, if you're a business, you know, even an individual, but particularly if you're a business, if you've been breached somehow, how do you know? I mean, sometimes.
Well, you know, it's interesting. They say about 191 days occur between the origination of the breach and awareness. So, and if you think about that, it doesn't take very long to exfiltrate data once they're in. And, you know, we all have that sense, if you've ever had it happen, your car's broken into, your home's broken into, that sense of violation. So that goes
right
on.
Yeah.
Then there comes the point at which, okay, you identify that that's happened. Now you need to figure out what are you going to do. And in most cases, that's going to be a contact, you know, folks like us and say, okay, here's what happened. Now, sometimes it's instantaneous. If you have had your data encrypted,
right,
and the world has shut down, that's going to change things as well. You know, the shame of it is that, again, small business somewhat thinks of themselves as somewhat immune because of all the frequency and enormity of the news and the big breaches out there.
Hmm.
But the cost to a small business is such that 60% of small businesses close within 6 months after they've had a breach.
Wow.
Just based on the cost and the pain.
Well, that's huge.
It's enormous.
Yeah,
it's enormous.
Wow.
So, and that's why proactivity, first of all, it costs less.
Yeah.
We all get car insurance. We all get homeowners. We all renters insurance. What
right,
have you?
Right.
So there is cybersecurity insurance out there. It is recommended. That helps mitigate some of the costs. But we have loss of public trust. We have loss of business. And hopefully we can recover that data. So at the very least, whether it be, you know, limping back to the line, at least the business can get back up and running.
And we're speaking with Paul Dolnack from Computer Systems Resource Inc., and we certainly appreciate you.
Well, thanks for having me.
If you're an individual, and I'll relay a personal story where, you know, I was reviewing my bank statement, and there were two fraudulent charges. They weren't big. They were like $80 each, you know. But if I hadn't sat down and really looked through it, I would have missed it. And
absolutely,
then I had to cancel the debit card and go through all that crap you have to go through with the bank to reestablish. But if I hadn't looked at it, and they told me they start small, they're fishing.
Yep.
They do smaller charges, and then if you don't notice it, then they go for bigger things. And then
charges of 83 cents.
Well, very often it's that dollar at the gas pump. They're looking to see if the card's active and whether they have all the information they need to do it. So it is. It will start small. And, yes, I recommend that all of us, all those of us, when we are consumers, you need to be very careful and cautious, make good judgments and decisions, and be diligent.
And like as simple as the debit card, I've twice had my debit card canceled because I happened to use it once at Home Depot.
Mm-hmm.
Bang. I used it at Target once. Bang.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you do? You know, you just pay cash for everything?
Yeah, as long as it's still an opportunity, right? It starts to feel like that's waning.
Well, yeah, and there are places that we should discuss.
There are cashless places,
yeah,
yes.
That's the new move. Now, I understand. I guess here's my question for you about that as a business person. On the one hand, I understand the convenience. But on the other hand, you're paying 3% to process all that money. If I hand you cash, you don't have to pay the 3%.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That is correct. And it's almost become a factored in cost of exchange anymore. But I agree with you.
Now, you have an event here, Vince, you were talking about?
Oh, absolutely. Paul, I know you do this at least once a year, sometime more. We have an event coming up this coming Thursday, April 25th. It's called Navigating the Connected World. So talk a little bit about what's going to happen Thursday night.
Well, this is our fourth annual cybersecurity event. It's an opportunity for us to get a room full of small business owners, and it's our continued effort to raise awareness on the topic of cybersecurity.
Right.
This year's topic's navigating the connected world. We're at a point where we can only move forward, right? It would be nice to go back, sit back on the porch, and say hello to your friends who happen to be your neighbors, but that time is somewhat past. So
yes.
It's an opportunity to talk to folks about just how pervasive things are. Everything's happening on our phones. Everything's connected on your phone.
Oh, yeah.
Your Facebook account is likely your sign in for at least one other connected service. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. And Vince, I know you'll be attending, and
yep.
you'll see this little piece. But while I was creating the presentation for the event on Thursday, on April 3rd, Facebook had to announce that there were two more breaches. They had a third party app developer had the data on an Amazon Web Service cloud and exposed 540 million records.
Wow.
So it's happening,
yeah.
And we go through our days again, caution and diligence, caution and diligence.
Now, in a case like that, I'm just curious, because when we hear these, it's often like, 6 months ago we had a breach, and our initial thing is, well, they've been hiding it for 6 months, and then they finally fessed up. Is this the case where it even took Facebook 6 months to figure it out, or were they just...
Well, in this case, it's so recent, they haven't identified yet the date of identification. There is a pace that occurs by the point at which it becomes notifiable. 45 days is the average anymore before you're going to know that this happened. And a lot of that is assessment, identifying the scope. There are parameters in each and every state as to the size of the breach and the number of records lost before that breach needs to be reported. So there's a scary thing for you. If you're under about 500 records, you didn't even know and never would hear.
Hmm. Wow.
Wow.
So what would you recommend to small business owners that get hit with the ransomware issues where their systems get locked down and unless they pay? Because a lot of folks, they wouldn't know what to do, and they'd just start clicking around and hitting buttons that could lock their systems up. How would you deal with that?
Well, first, call us. By the point at which you have that notification that your files have been locked, they truly have. Fewer and fewer businesses are paying the ransom. It's typically the larger ones, hospitals and so on, where the immediate resuming immediately is an imperative. However, over the course of years, 2013 was really the epicenter of the ransomware, crypto lockers, et cetera.
Yeah.
They have, at the time, there was some confidence that if you paid the ransom, you'd get the key. We've gotten to a point where paying the ransom doesn't necessarily get you the key. So the very first thing you do is you either call your IT professional or an IT professional, and certainly we prefer that be us. But and so that we can get in there and we find out what do we have? Do we have a good backup? And, again, what practices do we recommend to a small business? So you need to have layered backups, and that's a good place to start proactively.
That's the proactive argument.
Correct.
Yeah. Now, talk about next Thursday, April 25th. It's from 5:30 to 8 o'clock at the Hilton Garden Inn in Exton.
That's
right.
Correct. That's correct.
And you still have room for people?
We are filling up quickly, which is exciting. There are some seats still available, by all means. If you give Holly Gill in our office, 610-430-3308, a call, we'll see that you get in before the seats are filled. It's going to be exciting. We do this with the Exton Region Chamber of Commerce,
right.
and they are both players, the Hilton Garden Inn and the Exton Region Chamber, are just enthusiastic and great partners.
And it's going to be a great event. I've attended in the past, and I have to tell you, it's absolutely phenomenal, the information that you share with people and get people to really understand. Okay, folks, don't wait until this bad thing happens. Do something proactively so it doesn't happen. And, I got to think that people do take advantage of that.
Yep. And Paul, tell us if folks can't attend for some reason, but we have business owners out there listening, they're going, well, that person you described that's not protected, that's me. How do they reach you?
Well, certainly, again, calling our office, 610-430-3308. You can visit us on the web. We're at csri-qt.com. Just reach out. I do post some information about the event afterwards, after it's all been done. The screen presentation gets put up online so people can revisit it. But by all means, give us a call. There's never an upfront cost. Just to sit down and understand where you're at and whether or not we can work together.
Well, Paul, thank you for your time.
Great.
We appreciate you coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Coming in. It's great. Good to see you again.
Thanks for helping us uncover the mystery that is,
throwing the curtain open. It's the only way to start.
Yeah. Right.
Very good.
All right. Thanks,
Paul. Thank you very much.